The name of this program is Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. So thank you for joining me on this show, and I welcome any of the new listeners out there, especially some of the young adults that I gave a talk just last night out here in Westchester for their Bible study. And so if you're joining me, thank you for joining me. And if you're one of the regular listeners, thank you also for being with me here on Sign, Sealed, and Delivered. And so I hope I will get some calls, either to just say hello or any prayer requests or any questions regarding, you know, different things about the Catholic faith. And let me give you that number as we start off, in case anybody wants to write that down. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. And you can call in and at that number, and then we'll get you on the radio. And I hope somebody will do that, and we can be able to get some feedback from you all, how you like the show, or just make some comments of whatever is on your mind about your faith, about the Catholic Church, about God, or things of current events. Before we get any further, I wanted to make sure that we first start off with a prayer to Father God, our Father, and let's pray this prayer that our Lord Jesus gave us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And again, those of you who are new to this show, whether you just heard me yesterday or saw me personally giving a talk about the tactics and temptations of the devil, I am one of the few doctors in the whole nation that actually was a part of the exorcism ministry for the archdiocese. And I wasn't there because I was a doctor. I was there actually because I'm what you call a prayer warrior, and specifically, I belonged to the religious order called the Carmelites. And so Carmelites, what we do as our specialty, or what we call a charism, is we pray. And some of the stellar saints or doctors of the church that made the Carmelites well known is like the priest, that's the first order, that's called like St. John of the Cross. And he was, living in the 1500s. And the other well-known doctor of the church, who she became the first female Catholic doctor of the church, and her name is Teresa of Avila. And she was living also in the 1500s. And both this John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, there are the ones that are like the experts in prayer, mystical prayer. And so Carmelite nuns are the second order, and us lay people who belong to the Carmelites are the third order. We're the lay people, and so us Carmelites are the prayer warriors. We are like what you call those who are always manning the gates. We're always on vigil. We are always on alert, and our weapon, our spiritual weapon, is prayer. And we have various kinds of spiritual weapons, and the most notable of all is the spiritual weapon of the Holy Rosary of our Blessed Mother, which is nothing more than praying the gospel. It's not a bunch of words that we just rattle off. What we are actually doing is praying the gospel, and so we are repeating the words from Scripture itself, just like when we repeat the words of the Our Father. We say this five times in the rosary, and we reflect on various mysteries of the gospel. And as we do these, there's people do like 15 mysteries, or people do 5 mysteries, or people do 20 mysteries. But essentially, they get a glimpse, 5, 10, 15, or 20 of these mysteries of the Gospels, of Jesus' life, and also through the perspective of the Blessed Mother. So we are really praying Scripture within 15 minutes to an hour long. So it's like reading, it's like going through all 4 Gospels within 15 minutes to 60 minutes. That's what we do. And so anybody that prays the Gospels are really going to be equipped with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. And so that's what we value. Value Jesus' words in Scripture. We value his traditions that he gave us, and the church, which he founded. And that's why I'm here to help you as a spiritual fitness doctor, you know, a spiritual fitness coach, to help you. Because, again, we are assigned, sealed, and delivered. We are signed with that cross of Christ, right? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are sealed in baptism by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by the Holy Spirit as confirmation. And we're delivered through the Our Father prayer, meaning that we can get rid of that bondage or any kind of temptations or vices or obsessions or habits. We can get rid of that really through the Our Father prayer. And that's why I really accentuate that. And I, as a doctor, I try to bring this out, the spiritual side of it. Because, you know, with that kind of background of how to make a physical diagnosis using signs and symptoms, I use the same template in the spiritual side of things. I look at spiritual signs and symptoms and try to see how we can help our spiritual side. And so this is what I love doing. And so if anybody out there wants to talk about this, please call in. The number is 856-962-8178. And I'll repeat that, 856-962-8178. Now, you know, today being Thursday, March 12th, you know, there was a lot in the news, you know, about what those shootings are. And, you know, and of course, there's the war that's going on. And so there can be a lot of worry and anxiety out there. And I just wanted to lighten things up a little bit here. You know, I don't know if any of you heard of a really great comedian. His name is Mike Goodwin. He's from the South. And I just wanted to play this little clip from his from one of his YouTube videos of where he gives his comedy routine. So I'm just going to play a little skit there. And he talks about, you know, that there's only 2 things to worry in life about. And he was getting this advice from his grandma, right? And so, you know, as a doctor, many people will come to us doctors that they have some worry on their mind, right? That they look for help with that, that they can't sleep, they can't eat, you know, they can't work and so forth, and they need medicines to calm them down and so forth. But sometimes laughter is actually the best medicine. So I'm just going to play a clip here, and it's just a minute and 15 seconds from Mike Goodwin, and it's about there are only 2 things in life to worry about.
Grandma says there's only 2 things in life that you worry about, whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. If you're healthy, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you got 2 things to worry about. When you going to get better? When you going to get worse? You get better, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you get worse, you got 2 things to worry about. Whether you gonna live, whether you gonna die. If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You got two things. Whether you want heaven, whether you want hell. If you go to heaven, you got nothing to worry about. But if you go to hell, you got two things. Original or extra crispy?
All right, everybody. So original or extra crispy? I hope none of you end up there by the grace of God. We all want to go to heaven, right? And we want to be with God. But you know what? There's people out there that really don't know who Jesus is. Some people think he's a myth. I literally remember meeting a college student, and he was thinking that because he grew up watching those, during Christmas time, those cartoons, Little Drummer Boy, and what have you, all the Christmas shows there. And he thought it was just a Christmas carol, a character, or a Christmas cartoon, and it wasn't a real person. So it's like the spaghetti monster in the sky or something like that, that's all made up. And so that person grew up thinking that that's how it was. Kind of like how some people, I don't want to blow that, as far as the Santa Claus and all that. But we all know, those of us who are Christians, that Jesus is a true person. He is God Almighty. He's the Son of God. And many times people will say, well, there's no indication of that in the Old Testament. But in the very beginning, we all know, as we read, Genesis, that when God created the world, it was there was a plural, actually, when he said, let us make man in our image. And so this is something that people may pass up and not pay attention to that when God decided to make man in his image. Specifically, I'll quote it here, and this is from Genesis chapter 1. It said, verse 26, it said, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And so I'll just stop right there. So you can see when God did this, he said the word, let us make man in our image. And when referring to man, he's saying male and female, he created them. They were complete, complete. And so, the point here is there's already a hint that God, there's one God, but yet there's a plural person about him. So what do I mean by that? That it's that God the Father, that's one, the first person in the Trinity, God the Son, the second person in the Trinity, and the third person in the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we know that there is one God and three persons. And, hearing the news about the Jews, how there's these different attacks and America is helping them. I was listening on the radio or on YouTube or watching some of it about how some of the Jews would say they never knew that they only think there's one God, one person. But we know as Catholics and as Christians that, I mean, remember that the original Christians are Catholics. People may not realize. Some people think, oh, you Catholics are not Christians. Well, they may not act like it. Some of the best things, some of the worst things about Catholics is they don't act Christian. And some of the best things about Catholics, they're the best Christians you'll ever meet. So that goes vice versa, too. Same things with, Christians, right? We won't know. Some of them are the best Catholics, even though they're not fully, confirmed in the Catholic faith. They're just baptized in the Catholic faith. So, but my point here is that the Jews themselves, they know that the Spirit of God hovered over the earth and created the waters. And so you will see that that the God's Spirit was among the earth. And so talks about the third person of the Holy Trinity. And so there's already clues in that way. And then also at the same time, we know that Abram, before his name was called Abraham, was sitting outside his tent in the hot desert sun and noticed three people coming to him towards the tent. And he noticed these three people. Two of them were angels, and the one in front of them appeared to be Jesus himself. And why would we say that, or why would I have that opinion? Well, part of it is some of the writings from various saints or theologians, to the best of my memory, regarding that. But also, we know that Jesus Christ said that he was arguing with the Jews and saying that Abram knew his day, something of that sort, and Abraham knew that day, and the Jews were saying, well, how is that? You're not even older than 50, so how can you say you know Abraham? Well, that gives a clue that he was there with Abraham. And why do we know that? Because when God said he came down, he wanted to see what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so when these three individuals came to visit Abram in the hot desert sun, that Abram quickly got things ready for them to eat and called him Lord and served him and served all three of them. So the angels there were flanking Jesus. And what happened after he was served was that God had told Abram, right, that Sarai would the next year would have a son, right? And then she laughed and didn't think that would happen. And then they went on their way, and those two angels were the two angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah and helped Lot and his family. So that is, so just look that up in the story, and you'll see that in the Torah that they already have the clues there of the Trinity. And so when Jesus came, he actually scolded the Pharisees for not knowing the scriptures, that God is a Trinity of persons. That's very important. He's a family of persons. And so this is why we have to realize the importance of knowing our scriptures. Many times we Catholics are put down as people that are like ignorant of the faith. And for the most part, yes, many Catholics are ignorant of the faith. And I'm so very hold in high esteem and give praise and honor to our Christian brothers and sisters who really love the Bible and really work hard to remember and keep into their memory the different scripture verses. And so this is also why on this program on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, that I hope, you know, people will get to know more and more scriptures and really love the scriptures. There's actually a saying by St. Jerome that ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. I'll say that again. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Now, St. Jerome is one of the great early church fathers that, you know, he helped translate the Bible from, he knew Greek and he knew Hebrew, which was the official holy language of Israel, of the Jews, and he helped translate, you know, the Old Testament, and he also knew Latin, of course, which was the official, a sacred language of the church. So if you think about it, the official sacred language of the Jews was Hebrew, and the official sacred language of the fulfilled Jews, which are called Catholics, is Latin. And then this St. Jerome knew both of those, Hebrew and Latin, and he also knew Greek. And so he was able to translate the ancient Hebrew and the Greek into Latin, which was the common language at the time. So that's why it was called the Vulgate, which the word vulgar, it's a little different from what we mean now. When we say the vulgar language now, it means like some, you know, nasty curse words, swearing words. But back then, the word vulgar means the common language that people spoke. So that's why the Vulgate was the official church book of the Bible that we have, and all 73 books of the Bible. So it's very important to know that book of that St. Jerome translated for us, which is a gift for us in the church, that we have it in Latin, because that Latin was the official language, and it wasn't a dead language until, you know, later on. I think 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, it's somewhere there. It wasn't really used anymore. Definitely it was in the writings, you know, in the Middle Ages, and then it wore down because, of course, going through history, you know, the Roman Empire fell and all that. But Latin was still the language that was still alive and in the church, as well as far as the sacred language. So today it's still used. You know, we have that in the Catholic Mass, the traditional Latin Mass. It's still the official language of the church in the Vatican. But one thing that's also interesting is, you know, Hebrew was actually a dead language for 1,700 years. And so it really was brought back by a Jewish man around 1881 here, Ben Yehuda. I forget his first name. I don't know if it's Isaac, but Ben Yehuda, who really tried to increase the Jews to not use Yiddish anymore, and to like give up all these other languages that they spoke in the Holy Land. You know, they're multilingual, can speak various languages, but the goal was to try to speak Hebrew. And so, you know, they even made laws in the 1950s, right, 1948, right, when the Jews had their state of Israel, that they made laws that anyone in politics and anyone that was an ambassador or in the military had to change their names. They had to change their names to Hebraic names. And so a lot of the leaders, like that we currently have now, and like the first prime minister, second prime minister, other prime ministers, up to, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, that's not their real names. They changed it, and they Hebraicized it. And so, you know, a lot of them came from Poland, Ukraine, Russia, and they had Polish last names or German last names, but it wasn't a Hebrew last name, and they changed it. And so just so you know some of the background about, the parallels of how the Hebrew language was a dead language for 1,700 years, according to, some of the experts out there, or at least one expert out there. And same thing with Latin was dead there. But at the same time, you know, it's still currently used. But, you know, the Hebrew is currently used. I know a little bit about ancient Hebrew and the Paleo Hebrew. I'm no expert by any means, but I just know a little bit. And I just have appreciation of the languages because, you know, God himself is the one that gave us the languages so we could learn to converse with him, right? And so, again, I hope anyone out there, if you want to call in, if you have any thoughts so far what we've been talking about here about the Holy Trinity, please call in 856-962-8178. Also, anyone heard that little joke there from Mike Goodwin about two things that you need to worry about, because that's all on our mind with things going out there with some of this bad news going on. But we also just have to really pare down to what's really important in life, you know? And so, yes, it's our health. But also, we're all going to end up to be called back to God and to be accountable for what we do. And so when it all comes down to it, there's only really one thing that you got to worry about, right? Is are you going to go to heaven or hell? But if you're, love the Lord and you try to, with grace in faith, really serve him and love him like we're supposed to do, then we have this confidence, this moral certitude that we can be with him in heaven. And we won't worry about whether we're going to be crispy or extra crispy. Because you think about it, I mean, yes, Mike Goodwin made a joke. The thing is, it's all going to come down to that on Judgment Day, which is really our birth into eternity. It's like, what part of eternity do you want to be in? Do you choose to be in eternity in heaven, where we're with God and all the different saints and loved ones? Or do we choose to go to the other side of eternity where the devil roams and his minions, the demons, are also at? And so hopefully you will all choose to go to heaven and follow him, because that's our Lord and Savior. That's why he came here to offer himself up, to pay for our sins, and to defeat death and open up the gates of heaven. We're at the bottom of the hour, believe it or not. Let's take a little break, and then we'll come right back here. And please, if you have a moment, have a word with us, 856-962-8178. So let's take a break, and this is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. he can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. I understand we have a caller. Who's on the line?
Hello? My name is Cindy.
Wait, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Cindy.
Cindy, hi, Cindy. Thank you for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
New Jersey, awesome. I'm glad you're able to listen to the program. If I may ask, how long you've been listening to WTMR 800 AM?
I've been listening for a long time, but I've just started listening to this station. Listening to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, God bless you. How can I help you today?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I've been with my fiance for over 20 years. And yes. during that time, we was having relations sexually, yes. But God put it to my heart for me to stop having that. And it's been about over 3 years that I haven't had sex with him. And we're still living together. Is that still wrong?
Wow. You have touched on a topic that, you know, there's more people that's in the same situation as you have, but you are one of the ones that are succeeding and being able to determine the right thing to do. So God bless you, and I'll share scripture to apply what you are doing is correct, that you are essentially, if I understand right, you're essentially living like brothers and sisters in the Lord, to the best of my knowledge, correct?
Yes.
Because, again, you know, barring how we know that there's such thing as incest, you know, that when brothers and sisters live together on their own, and usually they shouldn't have, you know, sexual relations. Well, so if a man and a woman are living together and living as brothers and sisters in the Lord, they are not sinning in that way.
Okay.
Yes. So the thing is, so that took a lot of courage, Cindy. And so I thank you for being able to share that. But let me give you some scripture to also help you understand this. We're in the time period of Lent. And do you remember that story about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
If not, I can tell you it really quick. All right? You want me to share a little bit, maybe to help the audience as well?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So you want to stay on the line while I say this? And then if you can respond if you want to, or you can get off the line. It's up to you, but I can respond to you with this little quick story.
Okay. I'll get off and listen.
Okay.
Thank
you. All right.
So
thank you for calling. You're welcome, and I'll pray for you too, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Great. God bless you, Cindy. So let me go on to the story about the woman in the well, right? And so this is about Jesus going to Samaria, which is in Canaan. You know, that's where current wars is going on. Right, that's the battle zone in the Holy Land. So the Samaritans are like enemies of the Jews, and so usually the Samaritans don't talk with the Jews, and the Jews don't talk with the Samaritans because Samaritans are like Jews who had sexual relations and had children, you know, and marriage and children that are what we call like mixed or half-breed, if you will. So they're not fully Jews. So they're looked down upon as if they are not fully Jews. And so when Jesus went there, he was thirsty, and it was around noon, and he was sitting at the well. And that's when a Samaritan woman came up to get some water. Now, if anybody knows, back at that time, all the women know that the best time to get water at the well is during the morning and the evening, because it's cool water. The water is nice and cool, and plus that's like the time when you meet other women, other wives, or other young ladies who are doing their chores, and they get it in the cool of the day, or they get it in the cool of the night. And it's really like their water cooler time. You know, like if you worked in the office, people usually gather around during break time, or you know, coffee time, or you know, breakfast, or dinner, or lunch, excuse me, and they go around the water cooler. Well, here at the well, the women usually congregate there in the early morning and in late afternoon, but they don't come in the heat of the sun at noon. So this woman who came at the well was avoiding all those other women for some reason. And so this is where this woman was talking to Jesus, and Jesus wanted some water. And she was like saying, why are you, you know, asking me? And you're a Jew, you're not supposed to talk to me. And I'm not supposed to talk to you. Plus, you're a guy and I'm a girl. And you don't even have any bucket or anything to get water with. How are you going to get water? And then Jesus led on that he has living water, and whoever drinks living water from him, that they will not be thirsty anymore. And she was thinking like in material ways, you know, thinking that, oh, well, if you give me this living water, I don't have to come back to this well every day and fill up. Just give me that and I'll never be thirsty. It makes my job easier. But Jesus was talking about other things, and he led on that he said, go call your husband. And then, so this is my point, Cindy. Jesus knew when this lady was going to come. They don't give her a name. We don't know her name, okay? But we do know that Jesus said, go call your husband. And then she responds, not knowing that he's the Messiah, that he's the anointed one. He at first called him sir, she noticed that, she said, I had five husbands. And then Jesus said, you're right. Oh, actually, she said, I don't have a husband. And then she said, well, you had five, and the one you are living with now is not your husband. So that's how it applies to you, Cindy, okay? So she had five other husbands. I'm not saying you had five other husbands, but this Samaritan woman had it. And we don't know if, like, the first husband died, and then she had a second husband that died, and the third died, and then she had five total, or that she got divorced five times, or there was a combination. It never says that. But she had five husbands. And then the sixth one that she was living with, meaning they're cohabitating, that was not her husband. And then she realized, that this guy, this Jesus, is like a prophet. And so now she realized that, I know there's a prophet coming around, or the Messiah is going to be here. And then Jesus says, well, that's me, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And then so she got to talking about it, and Jesus really made her realize that he is the Messiah. And she was so happy, she was no longer afraid to talk to the women. She left her jar, went back to the village, and was telling the women and the people there that this is the Messiah. I met him. He knows everything about me. Come and see him. So in other words, that she actually met the perfect husband, the seventh husband. Jesus Christ is the seventh husband that we, all of us, are looking at. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. And Christ came down to marry us, his bride, the church. So even though I'm a guy, you know, and you're a woman, all the men and women on the earth, when we are part of Jesus' church, that we are, as a group, considered a bride. That all of us are like cells in the body. So, see, I'm a medical doctor, right? So all the cells in the, if they come together, it's like it makes the body. So you remember, I don't know if you watched that movie back in the day with Brendan Fraser, you know, Rachel Weisz, the movie called The Mummy, that there was this guy that the mummy dude, I forget who, actor, what he was, but he was like made into sand. And every time they got these different artifacts, he started to recombine back into whole. And then you could see him that he became a mummy that was alive, all these grains of sand. It was kind of spooky. I don't know if you remember that, but I sure do, watching that as a kid. Like, oh my goodness, like, wow. But anyway, in a good sense, all of us people, all of us souls, we actually like make up like living cells. Like we're like the stones, living stones that make up the temple of God. And he is the cornerstone. And the saints, the apostles, they're like the pillars. So we are the temple of God. And he dwells in us. And he also dwells in us in our hearts. So going to your answer, going to the answer of what you said, that this lady had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. She was looking for the right one all the time, and she met him in Jesus our Lord. So, Cindy, specifically, the courage that you had to call, the courage that you had to realize what you're doing was wrong, meant that God himself is forgiving you, because by your actions, you are asking the Lord for forgiveness. And by you doing this shows that you love the most best husband you can ever love, which is Jesus Christ. And he honors you and respects you because of your love and your action showing that you're sorry. You know in your heart that if you want God's blessings, that you want to be married with his blessings. And then the treasures from heaven, these graces, will shower you. In fact, refresh you like on a hot summer day where you're really thirsty and you just want to go and have a nice drink, nice, you know, glass of lemonade, or go into the pool. Where our Lord is that way. He wants to refresh us. That's why people, when they go back in the old times, or even currently, if you get, you know, we can, in Catholic Church, we have immersion baptism in some places, you know, besides just pouring water on the head, that once you go in there, you're forgiven of your sins. In baptism, you're forgiven of your sins. And when you go under the water, it kind of like, it kind of represents like the death of the old self. It takes away original sin, the sin that our parents had, Adam and Eve, and because they chose not to obey. And so when we have baptism, we go under the water, or water is poured on us, and then when we come out of the water, that's now we have a new life. We're refreshed because we have no sin anymore, no original sin, the sin that our parents, we inherited it. So, you know, let me go into that. So I hope I answered your question, Cindy, and all those other people. You know, let's make a quick prayer for Cindy and her brother in the Lord, that they made a decision to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, for the last 3 years, that I know that's difficult, but at the same time, it just shows that they love God more than loving their own selves. Remember, we're supposed to love God and love neighbor. That's the two greatest commandments. God didn't say, love yourself first, because if you did, you would never stop loving yourself. you would, not you, Cindy, or other people, that we would just stay selfish. We wouldn't say, we wouldn't go out to love our neighbor. We wouldn't go out to love God. We would always be stuck with whatever we had, and we won't have enough of what we have. We'll just keep on wanting more and more and more, you know? And so that's why God says to love him first with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And then when you do that, he will always send you to your neighbor. He will always send you to your neighbor. In other words, he'll say, you know, did you give your neighbor any food? Did you give your neighbor any drink? Did you give your neighbor any, you know, clothing? Did you give him any shelter? How about did you visit him when he was sick? Did you visit them at their funeral or when they died? Did you bury the dead? How about when they were imprisoned? Now, imprisoned doesn't mean they're only in jail. I did about 10 years worth in hours, not in years, 230 hours of prison ministry. So I actually visited people in the prison. But you know what, who can be considered a prisoner is those people who are homebound. Homebound because they're elderly. They use a walker, but they lose balance. They can't really move so much, so they might have like Parkinson's, or they might be crippled or paralyzed, or they may be so old they just really are bedridden, or they might just be bedbound. They're too sick to get around because of lung issue, heart issue, nerve issue, psychiatric issue. So those people who are in prison, so to speak, can be in prison in various ways. Maybe in their own fear. They might be so scared of just going outside, you know? And so these are the things that we are going to be judged upon. It's like the answers to the final exam. When God comes back at the end of the world, he says what he's going to grade us on. It's in Matthew chapter 28. It's the last book of Matthew, okay? And when he comes back, he's going to sift the people from right to left, the sheep from the goats. And if you read it, you'll see, like, what is his decision? How did he, separate the sheep from the goats, the right from the left? It is how he, by whether or not people did these works of mercy, right? About did they give food or drink or and that's what we have to make sure that we are giving to our neighbors. One way we want to ask God here is to always, love him first, and then love our neighbor. And by loving God and loving our neighbor, we're loving ourselves. We actually feel good about ourselves. We loved God with all our heart, our mind, our body, and soul. And we also are helping our neighbor, which makes you feel good, right? And so this is the thing. And so people like yourself, Cindy, and others, When you come to these dilemmas, God speaks to the heart and will prompt you what to do. He'll prompt and he'll give you the strength to do it. And so, you know, as a medical doctor, when I'm on the show, I'm not giving medical advice by any means. You have your own doctors, you have your own psychiatrist and so forth. I'm here really for the spiritual side. And so the way I would look at it spiritually, because again, I've helped so many people who are being afflicted by demons, right? So in other words, they might be possessed, which is extremely rare. I mean, there was like three in Philadelphia that needed help. And then those who might be oppressed, that physically are getting beat up by the devil. You know, there's a bunch of people having that. And there might be some that are spiritually obsessed, that they're in their mind, they're getting like tormented and they just can't stop, you know, seeing, hearing things they can't stop thinking about it. And it's really not a psychiatric thing. It's actually spiritual. Psychiatrists, psychologists realize that, hey, this is not something wrong with their brain. It's part of the spirit, and that's why they send them to the exorcist team, like where I belonged to. And so when I say things like this, the Lord puts in our heart, like if something's bothering you, He's going to give you the grace because you're going to Him. You're asking help. Do you remember that verse, Matthew 7:7? It says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. I love that verse because those three words, ask, seek, and knock, it actually starts with the letter A, S, and K. Ask, it spells ask. So ask and you shall receive, the letter A, S, seek and you shall find, the letter S, and then K, knock, where and knock and the door shall be open. So this is where when you ask for something that's good, why wouldn't God the Father give it to you? You want to be in God's graces. And so He set up marriage to be fruitful and to multiply. And so when I read that story about Adam and Eve, that the first commandment, I mean, that's not the Ten Commandments I'm talking about, but really the first command that God gave was actually to be fruitful and multiply, right? You think about it. This is chapter 1, verse 28. In Genesis, He said, He blessed them, you know, because they're married, and He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. But guess what? They didn't have any children. If you think about it, they only had children after they had fell from grace. In other words, when they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, from the tree that God said, don't eat from that, right? And so they only had children after that, right? So they had Cain, they had Abel, and then when Cain killed Abel, then they had Seth. And so this is the thing. So some of the Bible scholars, the rabbis, theologians, they're saying, wait a second here. Did they possibly break the commandment already? And that was part of the original sin, that they disobeyed God, that they weren't fruitful. And that's why, you know, we got punished, because the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I mean, of course we want to know, well, is this good for me or is this evil? But what the tree of good, the fruit of the tree of knowledge about good and evil, what it really means is that we decide to choose to make our own rules. Like, oh, this is good for me and this is evil for me. So in particular, some people will say, well, I don't believe in marriage. I just think that I can have sexual relations without marriage. I just want to try it out. I want to see how we, you know, fit. I want to see if we have chemistry. I want to save on finances. You know, I've had many, you know, other relationships and they didn't work out. So I want to, like, try before I buy. You know, and I'm not saying I did that or you did that or anybody else did that, but I mean, you hear this, you see this on TV, on movies, and so we all think, hey, that's the way it goes. You know, that's how we should follow. But God said this is not how it was meant to be. You know, he gave us marriage, and in fact, the first miracle was at a marriage, right? Where they ran out of wine, and God loved the party. And His Blessed Mother loves a party in a good way. I'm not saying in a bad way that the Blessed Mother, you know, hinted to Jesus and said, they have no wine. And so Jesus knew the hint and said, and essentially told His mom and said, Mom, you know, if I do this miracle, our relationship together, Mom, I'm not going to be able to be at home anymore. And I know I lived with you for 30 years. I stayed hidden so the devil wouldn't realize who I am. but you know, you're asking me to do this miracle and I'll do it, but just know, Mom, our private life's going to be over. I'm going to have to travel now. I'm going to go on the road. You know, I'm going to have to continue my father's work, but I won't be able to be with you anymore and live at home. You know, St. Joseph died already, and there's no one to take care of you. Maybe you can come along, but, I mean, all these things are going into God's mind, I'm assuming, you know, but Jesus' mind. And so he nevertheless does this for the Blessed Mother, for the bride and the groom. He gives them his best. And so this is what we, too, want to do, is we want blessings from God. We want the best-tasting wine, food, house, you know, finances. The Lord can give you that if that's what he wishes. But look what, he didn't even do that to his holy family. St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother, they lived in poverty. You know, they lived in poverty. So, but they were fine with that. They weren't really into materialism at all. You know, when they got the gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts to the baby Jesus, they gave a third to the temple. They gave a third to the priests. They gave a third to the poor, so they didn't have much left. Some people, they were living high on the hog wait, we struck it rich, now we can live really well. No, they gave it all away, essentially. Again, a third to the temple, a third to the priest, and a third to the poor. So that's why when they went and they offered up Jesus on the 40 days, you know, they gave what poor people gave, you know, pigeons or turtle doves. They didn't have that kind of money. And just imagine when they had to flee to Egypt. I mean, Joseph, I don't know if he knew how to speak Egyptian. I don't know if he had any business contacts there, set up a shop, but they fled in the middle of the night into foreign territory. I mean, it was still Roman territory, but it was like going from let's say the East Coast to Texas. I mean, traveling that way. I mean, like, who do you know down there in the South? I don't have anybody there in the South to live with and be friends and have a job. But hey, these are the kind of things that we all have to think about Scripture. And that's why I love Scripture. Anyway, thank you for calling, Cindy. You made our day. God bless you. And I thank everybody who listened to me today on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And again, this is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where it's signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. God bless you, everybody. Have a great evening.